Please take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Daniel. Daniel in chapter number 9. Daniel chapter 9 deals with the prophecy of the 70 weeks. And I've titled the message, God's Promises Kept. God's Promises Kept. Now, I have in my notes to read from Wilmington's Guide. And I don't have Wilmington's Guide with me. I forgot to bring it. I left it at home. So I apologize. So it may be a little bit shorter message this morning. Maybe somebody needed that. I don't know. But I was hoping to read. Wilmington explains a little bit in detail the 70 weeks. And does a good job of it. I'm not going to try and paraphrase even. We'll just get into the meat of the message of God's Promises Kept. But I did want to go ahead and read Daniel chapter 9. So we'll begin in Daniel chapter 9, verse 1. I'll read down through the end of the chapter. Daniel chapter 9, beginning of verse 1, the Bible says, "In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes." Now, before we continue here, I want to point out the fact that what Daniel is doing, okay, the Bible is very clear, he's reading God's word and praying, okay? What every Christian ought to be involved in. Now, it's interesting because as Daniel begins his prayer, God sends Gabriel, the archangel, to come and basically lay out this prophecy to Daniel. Because Daniel's praying for his people. He's praying for the nation of Israel. And you'll see as we begin to read through his prayer, he confesses his sin and the sin of the nation of Israel, which is, again, what we as believers ought to be involved in. Confession of sin, prayer for our people, prayer for our friends, prayer for our family, prayer for our neighbors, prayer for our co-workers. Okay? Daniel is reading God's word. He's reading in the book of Jeremiah. That's what verse 2 tells us. And he's praying. Verse 4 begins his prayer. The Bible says, "And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces is at this day, to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in all his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us, and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil, and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renown as at this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain. Because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now, therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee. For thou art greatly beloved, therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. One of the other things I'd like to point out right here, and I love it, because in verse 23, Gabriel's speaking to Daniel, and he says, at the beginning of thy supplications. God already knew what Daniel was going to pray. God knows our hearts. God knows what we want, what we need. He knows what we're going to ask for. And by the way, it's his delight to meet the needs of his people. It's his delight to answer our prayers. And at the beginning, the Bible says, of Daniel's prayer, God was sending Gabriel. We don't know what God's going to do, but we certainly won't experience it if we don't pray. A challenge, again, to each and every one of us. Now, I'm not saying, okay, this isn't a promise that Gabriel's going to come and speak to you every time you pray. But it is an assurance that God not only hears, but answers our prayers. Verse 24, the Bible says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now, this is where I wanted to read from Wilmington's Guide to the Bible, because he talks about and explains these three different breaking points, if you will, in this 70 weeks. You'll notice in verse 25, the Bible says, Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks. Now, one of the other things that we need to understand, and Wilmington helps explain, is that these weeks are a period of years, not just days. So whenever it's talking about 1 week, what we would think of as 7 days is actually 7 years. So when he says 7 weeks, we multiply that times 7 and come up with a number of years. That's 49 years. So that's the first part. And then the second part, verse 26, and after 80 weeks, 80 being 60, so 62 weeks, and he goes on to say, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. So from that time, that first period of 7 weeks, or 49 years, to that second period, 62 weeks, or I forget the exact number. If you multiply 62 times 7, you can come up with it. Somebody that's good at math, 344? Stop flashing numbers. I can't, all you're doing is this. I can't, I mean, it's like waving at me. 434. Thank you. Appreciate, that's a help. Appreciate that. 434. And again, I apologize. I was going to be reading this, so I'm just going off. My math is okay, but it's just not all that great. So you combine those, and you end up with 1 week or a period of 7 years, and that's what's talked about there in verse 27. They shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week or 7 years. In the midst of the week, or in the middle of that 7 years, 3.5 years, if you will, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even till the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now, where are we at here? Verse 24 says, 70 weeks, so again, 70 times 7, 490 years, are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression. There's a number of things here. To make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. So what we're getting from this, and what Daniel is understanding, is that this is what God is talking about, is his ultimate plan, if you will. All right? This prophecy that he's giving to Daniel through Gabriel. During this time, the Bible says, God will bring an end to all human transgression and sin. Now, if you take your Bibles, hold your place there in Daniel 9, but turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, we're going to look at a couple of different places in Acts, but beginning in Acts chapter 3, and then we'll go to Acts chapter 28. But in Acts chapter 3... the Bible records for us, beginning in verse 13. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now go to Acts chapter 28 with me, if you would, please. Acts chapter 28 and verse number 25. In Acts 28 and verse 25, the Bible says, and when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear, and ye shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. In Romans chapter 11, verses 26, the Bible says, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. We know that Christ came for a purpose. Christ came to die for the sins of the world. And this was, again, part of God's plan in bringing an end to human transgression and sin. Back in Daniel chapter 9, again, verse 24, it says, to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity. Again, this is what was done through Calvary. God made reconciliation for iniquity. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20, the Bible says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Again, God is making reconciliation for iniquity. How? Through Calvary, through what Christ did on the cross. And not only that, the Bible says, God hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Don't get confused here, okay? God has given us reconciliation through Christ. That means when we understand our sin, when we recognize our sin for what it is, that it's what separates us from a right relationship with a holy God. Jesus Christ bore that sin. The Bible says he became sin for us who knew no sin. He was a sinless one. But he became that sin for us so that we could be reconciled. We could be brought into a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Now, when the Bible says that he's given to us the ministry of reconciliation, what that means is not that we die for other people or that we take on the sins of other people, but we bring other people to the reconciler. We bring other people to the knowledge of Christ. We show people the truth of God's word. And we help them to understand that the only way to a right relationship with God is through a reconciliation with Jesus Christ. That's what the ministry of reconciliation is. That's what God is doing by making reconciliation for iniquity. Again, that's what's happened through Christ in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. Not only that, during this 70 weeks, this 490 years, the Bible says God will bring in everlasting righteousness by destroying the devil and the Antichrist. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 20, and Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, the Bible says, and the beast was taken, with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's their end. Now, again, that's the end designed and created for the devil and the Antichrist. It's not designed and created for mankind. What was designed and created for mankind was reconciliation through Christ. But like we were talking about on Wednesday night, the reason people reject God, the reason people reject Christ, the reason people reject the Bible is because it demands a decision. A decision has to be made. Now, you go into other religions, you go into other cults, if you will, and it's not really a decision that has to be made. It's really, you're a good person. You just need to do a little bit better. That's all. Now, does God want us to do good? Sure, absolutely. The Bible says that we're to provoke one another to love and to good works. We're to do good, but that's not what gets us into a right relationship with God. Only a reconciliation through Christ. God will deal with the devil. God will deal with the Antichrist, but there are those who are rejecting God. There are those who are rejecting His truth, His word. And unfortunately, because He is a righteous God, they will be dealt with in the same manner. In eternity, the Bible says, in a lake of fire and brimstone. Listen, I like it warm sometimes. You know? I like going to the YMCA and sitting in the steam room, and it gets a little hot, and I get a little sweaty. I don't know about you. Fire? Brimstone? That doesn't sound pleasant at all. For an eternity? Forever and ever? What are you trying to do? You trying to scare us? No, I'm trying to share with you God's truth. I'm trying to help you to understand and realize God takes it very seriously. So seriously that Christ came to this earth, lived a sinless life, and died for you, for your sin, so that you wouldn't have to go there. That's His plan for you, reconciliation. But the Bible demands a choice. Calvary demands a choice. You either accept it as true and you receive Christ and it's a free gift, or you reject it. You say, I don't believe that. And you stand to give an account. And the Bible says that penalty is an eternity in hell. It's a choice. God will bring in everlasting righteousness by destroying the devil and the Antichrist. Not only that, the Bible says that God will seal up the vision and prophecy. Again, in Daniel 9, verse 24, God will seal up the vision and prophecy. In Revelation chapter 22, if you would turn there with me. Revelation chapter 22. The very last chapter of the Bible. Revelation chapter 22, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." Here, God is telling John not to seal up. He says, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, the Bible says that God will seal up the visions of prophecy. What that means is he's going to finish. It's going to be done. It's going to be over. The reason it's not sealed up now is because God wants us to know. He wants us to have the truth. He wants us to understand. He wants us to be reconciled. But one day it's going to be over. One day it'll be too late. One day he's going to return. The Bible says soon, quickly. God will seal up the vision of the prophecy. And then the last part of Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, the Bible says, God will usher in the millennium. He will anoint the most holy. It doesn't say he will usher in the millennium. Okay, I'm giving you some references to go off of. He will anoint the most holy. We're going to look at that. In Isaiah chapter 11, if you want to turn there. If not, I'm going to go ahead and read verses 1 through 6. The Bible says, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. God's going to anoint the most holy. The millennium will be ushered in, and God's promises will be kept. The Bible tells us in Daniel chapter 9, verse number 12, Daniel, in his prayer, he says, he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us, and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. He hath confirmed his word. God keeps his promises. Daniel's looking back and he realizes, you know what? God said he was going to do it, and he's doing it. God keeps his word. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, the Bible says, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Romans chapter 3, verse 4, the Bible says, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. Genesis chapter 22, verse 8, the Bible says, God will provide himself a lamb. And then as we read in Isaiah 53, 7, it records, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He has confirmed his word. At Calvary, Jesus confirmed his word, and one day soon he will return and confirm his word yet again. God will keep his promise. He has confirmed his word, and he is righteous. Again, in Daniel chapter 9, beginning of verse 14, the Bible says, therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renown as at this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. He's confirmed his word, and he's righteous. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Then in Romans chapter 3, verses 20 through 23, the Bible says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Psalm 145, verse 17, the Bible says, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. What a wonderful thought. Not only does God keep his word, but he's righteous. The Bible says that he's not just righteous some of the time. You know, you and I have the ability through God, through Christ, and through the Holy Spirit to have righteousness, his righteousness. But I guarantee you, we're not righteous all the time. But the Bible says about Jesus, he is righteous in all his ways. The Lord is righteous and holy in all his works. Thank God that he keeps his word. Thank God that he's righteous. And not only that, the Bible says he's not only kept his word, he's not only righteous in everything that he does, but he is going to fulfill his word. He will fulfill his word. Again, back in Daniel chapter 9, looking at verse 25, the Bible says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks the street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. What's going on here is the Lord will allow Israel to make a pact with the Antichrist for 7 years. In the middle of that time, the Antichrist will break that covenant of peace and begin to wreak havoc on the Jewish people and the nation state of Israel, and in particular, Jerusalem. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. God has confirmed his word. The Lord is righteous, and he shall fulfill his word. There are promises yet to be kept. There are promises that are coming. But do you know the Lord? Have you put your faith and trust in the only way to be reconciled to a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ? Do you understand that it's the sin that separates us from a right relationship? But because he is a God that keeps his word, because he presented himself as the spotless lamb that takes away the sin of the world, because he's righteous, because he cares about sin, because he cares about holiness, because he is righteous, he's made a way for not only us to have a right relationship with him, but to receive those promises yet to be fulfilled. Thank God that he cares about you and me. He cares about his creation. He loves us. He's confirmed his word. Daniel knew it. Daniel saw it. Daniel testified of it. Has there ever been a point in time in your life where God's word was confirmed in your heart and in your mind? If you've ever accepted Christ into your heart and into your life, that's a confirmation that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a confirmation of his word. He's righteous. He's made a way. He's righteous in all of his ways. He's holy in all of his ways. There are promises yet to be fulfilled. He's going to return. He's going to take all those that have put their faith and trust in him to be eternally and forever with him. I hope you've made that decision. I hope you've put your faith and trust in Christ. I hope you're reconciled to him. If you haven't, you can be even today. It's a matter of recognizing your sin, a matter of understanding the penalty for that sin, and recognizing that Christ paid for that sin through Calvary, receiving him, being reconciled to God, believing his word, and following him in faith. Understanding that there are promises yet to be fulfilled. Knowing that even though there are perilous times ahead, God has a plan. He's righteous. He will fulfill his word. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes as we contemplate and consider God's promises kept. In the middle of Daniel's prayer, confessing his sin, confessing the sin of his people, the nation of Israel, recognizing that God had already confirmed his word, knowing that they had messed up, they'd made mistakes. None of us are perfect. We all have the capability to do things that are unthinkable. But we also have the ability to lean on and trust in a righteous God. One who's righteous in all of his ways. One who's holy in everything. And when we lean on him, when we allow him to guide and direct in our lives, we not only learn and recognize that he has confirmed his word, but that there are promises yet to be fulfilled. And part of that promise is that where he is, he's coming back to take us to be with him forever, for all of eternity. A promise for each and every one of us that would believe. A promise yet to be fulfilled, but one that we can look forward to. One that we can pray for, one that we can pray towards. And we ought to be praying for God's return. We ought to be praying with an eternal mindset. Daniel recognized there were troublous times ahead, but he also recognized he served a righteous God. He served a God that was not only able to confirm his word, but to fulfill every promise, because he's righteous in all his ways. He's holy in all his ways. You ever made a promise you couldn't keep? God never has. All of his promises are true and can be relied upon. He will fulfill his word. The Antichrist will come. It'll look like peace at the beginning. Midway through, things are going to get bad. Really bad. Do you know the Lord? Do you put your faith and trust in him? He's promised to take you to be with him for all of eternity if you just turn to him in faith, in humility. The Bible says in verse 3 of Daniel 9 that he set his face to the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. You know what Daniel did? He got serious about his time with the Lord. He got humble about his time in prayer. When was the last time we got serious with God in our prayer? When was the last time we asked God to help us to have humility? To trust him. To thank him for his righteousness, for his holiness, for his promises. Thank God that we serve a God whose promises are kept. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and for all that you try to instruct and teach us. Lord, thank you that you are able to confirm your word through not just the prophets and the authors in your word, but even today. Lord, the gospel message is for everyone that would believe. Help us to share that message. The message of your righteousness, the message of your holiness, the message of your mercy and grace and forgiveness on Calvary. Lord, help us to rest in your promises yet fulfilled. Promises that are yet in the future, yet you are the Alpha and the Omega. You're the beginning and the end. We can believe and wholly and completely rely on you. Thank you, Lord, for your promises that are kept. Lord, if there's any here this morning that don't know you as their Savior, I pray that even today they'd humble themselves, confess their sin as Daniel did. Recognize that they're deserving of the punishment for all those who reject you and reject your word and humbly seek your forgiveness by asking and allowing and receiving your Holy Spirit into their hearts and lives. As believers, help us to share the gospel. Help us to rest and to trust in the promises yet to be fulfilled. We give you the praise and thanks for all that you do. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. We'll stand to our feet as we sing a hymn.